Nisechtes bar mitzia, daf kuf gimel, four lines from the top of daf kuf gimel, min alef, Amar Rav Nachman, Rav stated the name of Rav Nachman, Hayman da oigloi beisel l'chavri l'eser shenin, if Reuven rents out his house to his friend Shimon for 10 years, v'kosel l'ishtara, and they entered into a lease, and the tenant would keep the document which was the lease, and as Rashi explains, there was no date written in the lease, and therefore at a later date, v'amalei, and the landlord said to the tenant, Nikitas Kamishnin, that he already lived here for 5 years, and all you have left is 5 more years, and then the term of your lease is over, and meanwhile the tenant says, I only lived here for 3 years, and I still have another 7 years to live here, and Rav stated in the name of Rav Nachman, that Mehemin, that the landlord would be Neman, and as Rashi says, Balabayas, the Kaka Bechesus Balei Medes, a cold Vasafik Habolafinenu, the Lamaisa all agree that this was just a lease, and therefore the actual Kaka is still Bechesus Balei Medes, and therefore the landlord is the Muxik and he is Neman, and the only way that the tenant would be able to win is if he would bring a Raya as a Mitzi Mechaber, all of a Raya, and the Gemara continues, Omele Rav Achamed Zifti the Ravina, so Rav Achamed Zifti, Es Ravina, Elmeata, if this dinner of Nachman is correct, Oisfe Meazuzu Bishtara, if Reuven lent $100 to Shimon and they wrote a shtar, and Lamaisa at this point Shimon is muchzik in the money, and Shimon will claim that I already paid 50% of the loan back. Do we say that Shimon is Neman? Certainly that's the whole purpose of the shtar, as it's used as a raya that Shimon owes $100 to Reuven, and therefore when Shimon claims that he paid back $50, certainly he would not be Neman. And in our case there's also a lease which states that the tenant has a right to live there for 10 years, and l'chir, we should believe the tenant, and why do we believe the landlord? And the Gemara answers, Amalei, the Ravina responded to Rav Achamed Riftei, that there's a chiller between the lease and between the loan, as Hachi Hashtar, Hostam Shtar L'Gavaynikai, that the entire purpose of a shtar when there's a loan is ordered to have a raya that Shimon owes money to Reuven, and therefore, M'isa de Pare, if it's really true that the borrower paid back some money to the lender, so certainly, Boyle L'michtav Agabei, the borrower should have made sure to get the shtar from the lender and written on the shtar that he already paid back $50 inami michtav l'tavra, and in the alternative at least he should have gotten a receipt that he paid back $50 aval hacha, but in the case of a lease a malay, the landlord says to the tenant that the whole purpose of the shtar and of the lease is in order to benefit me, as in order to make sure that after you live in my home for 3 years that you don't come back and claim that you really bought the house and you really own the house, and therefore we write a lease in order to have a raya that you're only leasing the home and you don't own the home. And as Rashi states, the loyte chazik ba, the loyte ma lekuchi biyadi, that you shouldn't claim that you bought this house, and not that you should be able to say that since I have an undated lease, therefore I could always claim that I still have an additional 10 years in order to live here, and certainly that's not the point of the lease, and therefore the tenant is not Neman. And Ayin Taisa Divim and Taisus first brings down the Pshat of Rashi as well as Rabbeinu Chananel, and he says Pirush Rabbeinu Chananel Loshen Echad V'Chaim B'Kuntrish She'in Kosa B'Shtar Lo Yitchilas Hashanim V'Lo Yisayfon V'Ashtar B'Yad HaSeicha. And the standard is that the lease is held by the tenant V'Oimim Maschel HaSeicha K'Vadata Hishanim U'Parach B'Shtar Milva Minem Alei V'Parati Palga. And the Gemara answers Hocha Amalei Hayde Kosa L'Chashtara K'Heich Lo Yitchazik Pirush Ika Ashtar Nichta B'Shvili, that the landlord says that the main purpose of the shtar was for my purposes, and even though the lease is held by the tenant, however, as the lease is held by the tenant, in order that the landlord can't say that the terms are less than the terms that were originally agreed upon. However, by the fact that there is a lease, that even though the tenant is actually holding on to the lease, there's still a curl that goes out, and people realize that he's only a tenant and he never bought his sada from Reuven, and therefore will never be able to tain it as a chazaka, as it'll be a chazaka she'ini mataino. The Gemara continues with another member of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman shel adam betuva lo'ilam. If Shimon says to Reuven that I want to borrow this tool from you while it's good, then if Reuven agrees that he will lend this tool to Shimon, then Shimon could keep the tool forever, and he could even return it to Reuven, and then once again, require Reuven to give it back to him in order to borrow once again. And as Rashi states, Shail Adam Betuva Leilam, Imra Adam Kli Lechaveira Va'ama Hashileni Betuva Va'amalehain, Shail Leilam Kaz Machu Reilam Malacha, as long as it's still a good tool and it could be used for the work that it's meant for, the Hai Betuva Mashmalai Kaz Machu Taiv, that the Lashon Tuva is Mashma, that the entire time that this tool is in working order, Afila Machzira Chayziv Neitle Kishi Sarach, and even if he'll return it to Reuven, he'll still have a right to get it back from Reuven at any point that he needs that tool once again. And the Gemara tells us, Rab Mari, brother by Shmuel, Rab Mari, who was the son of the daughter of Shmuel, meaning the grandson of Shmuel, from Shmuel's daughter Rachel, who was captured and had Bia with Issar, who eventually became a Ger, and therefore Rab Mari was her Rasei Shalei B'Kedusha, V'Ledasa B'Kedusha. That's why the Gemara doesn't bring down that Rab Mari was the son of Issar, and instead it always brings down that he was the son of the daughter of Shmuel. And as Rashi and Daf Ayin Gimel and Beis mentioned, Umachbas Kvedai Talua Shem Imai, Rab Mari stated, V'hu Dekonimine, that if originally Shimon would have just made a Mashicha on this Kli and used it one time and didn't give it back to Reuven, then Reuven doesn't have to lend it any longer to Shimon, as ultimately once Shimon returns the item to Reuven, then the Mashicha is already batal and Reuven is no longer required to lend it to Shimon. However, Rab Mari teaches us that the Din of Rab Nachman applies in a case where Reuven agreed to lend this item to Shimon, that Reuven and Shimon made a Kinyan Chalipin, and therefore they agree to these terms, and the Kinyan Chalipin continues forever. The Gemara continues, Amra Mari Brei Rav Ashi Osama Gerus, Amra Mari Brei Rav Umahad Lekasya, Shimon has a right to continuously use this tool until the tool is no longer useful and can't be used for its original use, and at that point he has to give the pieces back to Reuven, and he can't keep the pieces, as Lemaisa, he borrowed this item, and Reuven never gave him this item as a matana. And as Rashi says, Umahad Lekasya Uchshiyivchai Shalei Yeroi Yachsele Shvarv, the Lab Matana Yavale El Sheila Havoi V'tuva Havoi, and it was only during the time that this tool was actually workable and usable, V'haylav Tovu, and at this point it's no longer usable and it can't be fixed, and therefore he has to give all the pieces back to Reuven. And Rabbeinu Chananel says, V'mloy Nishar Mimeno El Yodei Shalei Sekli, that even if the only thing that's left of the Kli is the handle, Ubala V'chosa Kli Machs Malacha Shai Mishtamish Boi Machs Aloya Yad Upata, and even though the rest of the tool is already totally worn out, that even so the barrel would still be Potter. And Ayin Dagoyes Hagra, who states Nichta Betzida Ratzalayma She'ina Yochel Saknoi, that he can't fix the tool any longer. And the Ravid says a similar idea as V'yeshim Mepharshim Shafil Nishbra Mesakna Va'isaba or Isa Beshvara Malacha Shem Ruinla Achle Yishar El Yad Akad Mavad, that even if the Kli would break, the borrower has a right to fix it and then continue to use it, and he continues to use it until it actually disintegrates and all he has left is the handle of the Kli. And the Gemara continues, Amar Rava states, if Shimon asked Reuven to lend him a hoe in order that he should be able to dig in a specific orchard, then if the lender agrees to lend it to him, then the borrower can only use the hoe in order to dig in that specific orchard, and that's because he used the Lashon Lemirpik Bei Hai Pardesa. However, if when requesting to use the item, he didn't say the Lashon Hai Pardesa, and he said, I want to borrow this hoe in order to dig Pardesa, Rafik Bei Kol Pardesa the boy, then he could use the hoe in order to dig in any Pardes he wants, but he only could use it for one of his Pardesim, but even if it would be a very large Pardes, and as Rashi says, Afilu Godol Kantuchya, and even if it's as large as the city of Antuchya, and the Gra brings down from the Rambam, Pirish Afilu Eina Shaloi, Baruch could even use the hoe in order to go and dig a very large field that doesn't even belong to him. And the Gemara continues that if instead of the borrower staying Hai Pardisa or Pardisa, but he said Pardise, that I want to borrow this hoe in order to go and dig in orchards, and he used a Lashon Rabim, Rafik V'Ozel called Pardisa de Islay Umahad Lekatya, then the borrower has a right to use this hoe in multiple Pardesim as long as they belong to him. And even if at the end result he will wear out this hoe and all he'll be able to give back to the owner is the handle of the hoe, he could still use it for as many fields as he wants, as long as those fields belong to him. And as the Gemara says, Varfik Va'aza Kol Pardisei D'Islay, that he owns, but you can't use it for someone else's fields. And Rashi explains, V'lo Yamin and Trei Pardisei Hu D'Kamalei, we don't say that the Miad Rabim is two, and therefore he should only be able to use the hoe for two fields, that Fil Tuvu Nami Mashma, that this Lashon is Mashma, that the borrower wants to use the hoe for multiple fields, and not only for two fields. And Taisus is bothered that Lemaisa we know, Benegeir Din of Mecha Chememka, that if someone uses Lashon Rabbim, then we say that Miat Rabbim Mishtayim, and all you have right to is two fields and not more than that. And that's Taisa brings from the Gemara Masechtas Bav Basra, Arata Tati Mashma. Taisa brings two truths in Vyesh Lema, the Hainu Dafka Gavi Mecha, the Ein Lola Lema, Shemacha Kol Kakyasev El HaPachis, that is being Negea, a case of Mechacha Memkar. And certainly a person doesn't mean to sell all of his Kaka, and therefore we say that Miat Rabbim Mishtayim, and all he meant is two fields and not more than that. Al B'Sheila Inim Makbid Dimashal Chol Tzarchai, lending someone your hoe, then you don't care if he'll use it as much as he wants, as ultimately you know you're going to get it back, and that's why you could go and use this hoe for all your fields. And the Bach brings in Ois Hei, then in Mesechtas Bav Basra, Taisus also discusses this topic, and Taisus actually is Deicha this Pshat, and therefore Taisus continues, V'Oidi Yishleima, and another Pshat is, the Hasim Yad Lekech Al Techtoina, Shal Meicha Muchzik, as in the case of Mekach HaMemka, the Meicha is Muchzik, and therefore we say that Miat Rabbim Mishtayim, and Lekech is a Meitzim Mechaveri, and all of a Raya. However, Hocha Yad HaMashal Al Techtoina, Shal Shoyal Muchzik, over here we're talking about a case where the Shoyal already has this item, which is Metaltlin, and therefore the Yad HaMashal is Al Techtoina, and it's on the Mashal to bring a Raya as to what they meant, and therefore the Shoyal could use this hoe as much as he wants. And Taisa continues, that how can you call the shoyl a muchzik if ultimately we know that this item really belongs to the lender and lemaisa the buyer will return this item and the lender should be considered the muchzik and not the buyer. And Taisa explains that certainly with the gay kaka where you can't go and hide kaka, so certainly the original owner remains the muchzik, but when the game metaltlin, we always have to look at the person that's actually holding the item at this moment. And since our Gemara is talking about a shovel or a hoe, therefore it's metaltlin, and therefore the muchzik is the borrower and not the lender. And the Gemara continues, Amra Papa, Hai Manda Amli Lechavre, Oishlan Hai Gagusa, Vinafla, Loi Bonila, that if Shimon asked Ruvain to lend them a specific well, and as Rashi says, this well is a Be'er Maim Chayim L'Hashkei Sodeis, Shimon wants to use the well in order to water his fields, and even though they made a kinyan, but a wall of the well fell down, and now the well is not usable, so the din is that Shimon cannot go and fix the well, Ruvain can back out and tell Shimon that he doesn't want to lend him his well any longer. However, if instead of Shimon saying to Ruvain, I want to borrow Hai Gagusa, and he said Gagusa, that I want to borrow a well, Vinofla, and then that well that he starts using falls down, then Bunny Lord, then Shimon still has a right to build up the wall and fix the well, and then he'll be able to use the well in order to water all of his fields. And as Rashi says, Bunny Law, Rehi Shu'uloi Achiyashka Kol Sadoisov. And finally, Rav Papa teaches us, Be Gagusa, Kari Va'azel, Kam Gagusa Ba'are, Adam Isramele, Vitzarach Lomiknumine. Shimon asked Ruvain to use his field in order to dig and create a well in his field in order to find water, be able to water his fields. Then, if Ruvain agrees to Shimon and they also make a Kinyan Chalipin, then Shimon could go and dig multiple wells until he finds one that suffices for his needs and has enough water. And as Rashi states, and if Ruvain and Shimon did not make a kinyan chalipin, then the bur b'alma amalei, then it's only a dibur b'alma or matzal mahadabe, and at any point that Shimon wants, he could be chayzah, and he could tell Ruvain they can no longer dig any wells. And we continue with the last mission of the parak. If Ruvain lends his house to Shimon and the house falls down, Ruvain is responsible to build another house that Shimon could use for the remaining term of his lease. And the Mishnah tells us that if the house was smaller, then you can't make it larger. And if it was larger, then the landlord can't decide to make it smaller. If it was one room, then you can't make two rooms. And if there were two rooms, then you can't make one room. And you can't decrease the number of windows or increase the number of windows that this house originally had, unless both the landlord and the tenant agrees. But otherwise, the landlord has to provide the tenant the exact same house and with the exact same specifications as he originally leased. And as Rashi explained, that some tenants may like a small house and some tenants may like a larger house. And the Gemara begins and asks, Hechidami, what is the case of a Mishnah? Ida Amalei Bayezeh, if the original agreement was that I'm renting you this house, Nafal Azalei, then L'Chayr, once the house falls down, then the tenant should no longer have any rights. And as Rashi says, Ozlei Holochloi Mazloi Garim, that the tenant's mazl causes problem, and why would the landlord be responsible to build another house? And either Omalei Bayis Tam, and if the original agreement was for Bayis and it didn't say Bayisah, so as the Ritva points out, that if someone leases a home and they only say Bayis Tam and they don't mention which house, then the landlord can even provide the tenant a Bayis that's 4x4 Amis and doesn't have to provide anything further. And therefore, the Gemara is that now that the house fell down, Echad Amayle Yasenu Shnayim, Katan Amayle Yasenu Gadol, as the landlord should even be able to give this tenant a 4x4 house and be Yitzah, why should there be a requirement that the landlord has to give a home to the tenant that exactly matches the original home that the tenant was renting? And Ritva points out that this din that the Gemara just mentioned is only in a case where the tenant did not yet live in this house and the house fell down before he started living there. However, if the tenant already started living in this house, then it shows that the landlord meant to give him a house this size, and therefore in a Hanami, the landlord would have to replace it with the same size. However, other Rishonim argue on this point of the Ritva. It's a bit tzarech beyond the Ritva, as if this would be the din, then why didn't the Gemara say that this is the case of a Mishnah? And the Gemara now continues, Amar Reish Lakish, that Reish Lakish states, the Amalei, that the landlord said to the tenant, Bayishani Maschilcha, that the house that I'm going to lease to you, Midas Arka Kach V'Kach, that the length of the house is this measurement, and Midas Rachbe Kach V'Kach, and the width of the house is this following measurements. Therefore, the Mishnah teaches us that even though the house falls down, the landlord has to replace the home with a similar home. And the Gemara asks, Hachi Maile Meimra, if this was the term of the lease, then certainly that's a din, and what's the Chiddush of the Mishnah? And therefore, the Gemara states, Eliki Asir Rabin on Reish Lakish, and when Rabin came from Eretz Yisrael, he actually said over a different member of Reish Lakish, to Amalei, that the case was that the landlord said to the tenant, Bayis Kizani Masalcha, that I'm renting to you a house that's similar to this home. And the Gemara once again asks, Vakati Maile Meimra, so Lachir, what is the Chiddush? And the Gemara answers, Leitzricha de Koyaguda Nahara, that this house that he pointed out was at the bank of a river, and it was riverfront property, and that was, of course, a Maila to the tenant. The Gemara explains, Maul Tema, and the Havmina was that someone may have thought, Maikazed, Koyaguda Nahara, that all the landlord and tenant really cared about was that the home should be waterfront property, but there wasn't a stipulation regarding the actual size of the home and the rest of the specifications of the house. And as Rashi says, that certainly having waterfront property is Choshev, Baguda Nahara, who demasni bade, Shaderk Pnei Odom Akpidu Bekach, and the only tonight that they were really referring to is only that the house should be waterfront. However, even though he said, Bayis Kazani Masalcha, Aval Arkav Rachboi Asni Bade, that he really didn't mean to specify that I'm going to give you a house that this length and this width and other specifications of the house, and Kamash Mulan, that Kulam Nusasne, and therefore the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that the landlord has to replace the house, and the house has to be waterfront property, and it also has to have the exact same dimensions and all other specifications of the original house. However, Ayin Ritva, who actually argues on Rashi, and he holds that the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that in a Chinami, the only thing that the landlord has to give to the tenant is the exact same specifications of the house, but the landlord doesn't have to provide the tenant a house that's waterfront. And when the landlord stated, Bayis Kazani Masalcha, he was only referring to the actual dimensions and specifications of the actual house, and not referring to the actual location of the home. Hadun L'chashoyel, Hadun L'chashoyel, Hadun L'chashoyel. And we continue with the ninth and the new Mishnah. And before we begin the new parak, let us define two words. There's something called arisis and something called chakiris. And if a farmer wants to lease a property from an owner, then he could either tell him that I will lease the property and I'll give you a percentage of the crops. And this is called arisis, and the farmer is a sharecropper, and the lease payment to the owner will be dependent on the actual yield of the tefuah of this field. And chakiris is when a farmer goes to an owner of a field and tells him, I will work the field and I will pay you a specific amount of money. And for example, he tells him that I'm going to rent the field for $1,000 for the season. And if the field produces less than $1,000, then the farmer will have to take money out of his pocket in order to pay the owner. And of course, if it makes a lot more than that, then the farmer will gain and the farmer will only pay $1,000 to the owner of the field. And as we will see in Daf Kuf Dalim and Aleph, Rav Papa will teach us that the first two Mishnayos of this parak are relevant not only to an Oris, but also to the case of a Choker. However, the rest of the Mishnayos of the Perek are either relevant to a sharecropper or relevant to Chakiris, but not relevant to both, as we will explain once we get to each individual Mishnah. And let's keep in mind that although the beginning of our Mishnah will certainly be discussing both the case of a sharecropper, also someone that leased the property for a specific amount of tour. However, the Sefer of our Mishnah will only be discussing the case of a sharecropper, as Rashi will point out, and as Tosis points out in Daf Kuf Dalal Min Aleph, in Dibur Masav, Hani Trei Masisa Kamaisa, Isno Bein Becharkunusa, Bein Bekabelunusa, the Afagav, the Chashem Shecholka Mitfua, Lesa Bechakiris, and even though the Sefer of this Mishnah that we're about to learn is only Benegei a sharecropper and not Benegei a Chakiris, Mikol Mokom Ilkin Musa, the Hainu Reisha, Mayri Bein Bechakiris, Bein Bekabelunis, however, the Reisha of our Mishnah is speaking about both the case of a sharecropper and is also relevant to a Chaker. And our Mishnah begins, Hamakabel Sada Mechaveroi, if a farmer leases a Sada from his friend and from the owner of the field, then Mokom Shinogu Likzer Yikzer, then if the standard of that area is that when you cut your tefua off, you cut it with a sickle, you don't actually pull out the entire stalk from the ground, and therefore part of the stalk remains in the ground, then the farmer, who we explain is either a sharecropper or a Chaker, must go and cut off the grain in that manner and use a sickle, and he can't completely uproot the stalk from the ground. However, Laka Yakar, if the Minika Mokim is to uproot the stalk from the ground, then the farmer must follow the Minika Mokim and must rip the stalk completely out of the ground. And the Mishnah continues, Lacha Shachra Yachresh, and if the Minig is that after the farmer cuts the tefua off, either through Ketira or through Akira, that afterwards he goes and he plows the field in order to make sure that he turns over the roots of the bad grass and of the weeds, and this way all the weeds will die. And as Rashi says, and this way these weeds won't regrow when you plant the field once again. And if this is the minig, then the farmer has a responsibility to plow the field. And the Mishnah tells us, Hakol Kaminig HaMedina, and everything has to follow Minig HaMedina. And the Mishnah continues with the Sefer, and as we pointed out, the din of the Sefer will only be relevant to a sharecropper and not to someone that was Mekabal Sada B'chakiris. And the Mishnah states, Kashem Shecholka B'tfua, that just like a sharecropper shears the tefua of the field, the sharecropper also gets a shear of the straw that's in the field. In Tesis Dibur Maschil B'tevin V'kash, who explains what the difference is between tevin and kash, Oisus Shenixas Imashabaylus Kari Tevin, the straw that's cut off together with the stalk is called tevin, and Vanishar Ba'aretz, and the part of the stalk that's left in the ground, Kari Kash, that's called kash, Akarin Ishtabla, which is called stubble, and the straw that comes off together with the stalk, that's given to animals as animal fodder. However, kash that's left in the ground, that is not given to animals as fodder, and it's left in the field in order to fertilize the field. Similarly, the Mishnah teaches us, Kashem Shecholkim B'yayin, that just like a sharecropper would get a share of wine, Kachokim B'zmeiris Uvakanim, he will also have a right to a share of the branches of the vine that was cut off, and the sharecropper will also have a right to the reeds. Based on the Gemara, Rashi explains that we're talking about those branches that were used in order to hold up the vines and were used to support the grapes, that the grapes should not fall on the floor and should not drag on the ground. And we continue on Daf Kuf Gimel Beis, and the Mishnah is bothered that L'chira, if the reeds are not something that grew over here and they were placed here previously in order to support the vines, so L'chira, why is it that the sharecropper would have a right to it if the owner of the field actually provided the reeds? Therefore, the Mishnah teaches us Ushnei Misafka Zekanim, that originally the requirement is that both the owner and the sharecropper provide the reeds, and therefore once these reeds are no longer useful and it's after the season, then they split it and they both take back 50% of the reeds. And Rashi explains that every year they would supply new reeds, that the Oris only has the responsibility to work a field and to watch the field, but anything else that is needed for the field is split between both of them. And as we explained, that the entire Sefer is not relevant to a case of a Chayka, because ultimately that's not going to be dependent on a ratio and a percentage, and the farmer only has to pay a specific amount of tour, and anything above that belongs to the farmer and not to the owner. And our Gemara begins by bringing a Braisa that's almost identical to the Mishnah, and the Mefarshim are bothered why the Gemara had to speak about the Braisa and not speak directly on the Mishnah. But the Braisa states, Tana, Makab Shinog Liksar in Rishay Laka, Laakar in Rishay Liksar, Ushnei Ma'akim Zealzeh, and both the farmer and the owner can be Ma'akiv the other one. And the Gemara now explains the rationale as Liksar in Rishay Laka, in the case where the Minika Makam is to cut off the tefua with a sickle and not to uproot the stalk from the ground, Hay Oma Be'ina the Titfin Li'arai, as the owner of the field says, I want the bottom bottom of the stalk to remain attached to the ground, as that will fertilize the ground. And the farmer could say that since the minig is to cut off all the tefillah with a sickle, that's much easier, and I don't want to have to work as hard and have to rip out every single stalk one by one. And the Gemara also explains the next case, la'akar inu rishay liktzar, that if the minig ha'makam is to rip out the stalk, then you can't use a sickle to cut the stalk, as hay'ama be'inu tinakar roi, as the owner of the field says that I have enough fertilizer in the field, I would rather make sure that I have a clean field, which will be easier for me to plant in the future. And the farmer could claim that I want to rip out every single stalk, as even though it's harder, but ultimately I will gain that I will get more tefuah and I'll get more straw for my animals and I'll have more animal fodder. And therefore, in both cases, both the owner as well as the farmer have a right to insist to follow the minhag hamakom. The Gemara continues that now that we explain that there's reason why each person may want either akira or katira, so shneim akim zel zel lomli, and why did the brisa continue and state that both of them could be ma'akev, as certainly that is the din, as that is exactly what we just mentioned. And as Rashi says, and as the Ravid says, and the Gemara answers, that the Bryce is teaching us the reasoning for the rule, as matam liksa in rishay la'aka and la'aka in rishay liksa, because each one has their reasons why they would want either Akira or Katsira. And as Rashi states, as we explained, and the Shita explains the Chiddush of the Braisa is that the only reason why each one could have Akpada is because they both have valid reasons why they are Makbid. However, if someone just Makbid for no reason, then his Kpeda would not be considered a Kpeda. And he states, the Gemara continues and quotes from Mishnah, Lachrish Achor V'Achrish, that if the minhag hamakom is that after the farmer harvests the wheat or harvests the grain, that he goes and he plows the field, then he has to plow the field. And the Gemara asks, Pshita, Lachari, we just said that everything's totally the minhag hamakom, and therefore certainly that would be the din. And the Gemara answers, Leitzricha Ba'asra Dlei Menachshi, that we're referring to a place where the minhag is that the farmer doesn't pull out the weeds while everything is growing, and Ba'azaliyu V'Nachish, and this farmer went and he weeded of land and he made sure to pull out all the weeds while the tefuah was still growing, and Ma'ar Tema Amalei Haid Nechisha Daitel LeKarivnala Kamash Blon. And one may think that the farmer could say to the owner that the reason why I went against the minhag hamakom and I made sure to take out all the weeds while the tefuah was growing was because I didn't want to have to plow after the fact and after I went and harvested the tefuah. And Kamash Blon, that Lemaisa, the owner has a tie to the farmer that although it's true that you did take out the weeds while everything was growing, but ultimately some more weeds grew, and I want you to follow the minhag hamakom, and I want you to plow the field. And as the Gemara says, the boy little fushilei, as if this was the case, then the farmer should have been mepharishes to the owner, and by the fact he didn't say anything to the owner, so the farmer still has the responsibility to plow the field. And the Gemara continues, hakol k'minhag hamedina, that the Mishnah stated that everything goes based on the minhag hamedina. And the Gemara asks, hakol l'suya mai, what is this coming to include? And the Gemara says, l'suya hadatan rabbanan, Mishnah is coming to include the following item, which is mentioned in the Brisa. So, as the Brisa teaches us, that if there's a place where the minhag hamakom is, that when a sharecropper agrees to take on someone's field, then if the field doesn't only have regular grain and it also has trees with fruits, that the sharecropper has a right to the fruits of the tree as well, and he gets a percentage of the fruits, even though it's not very difficult to work with a fruit tree, as they basically grow on their own. And of course, that's a major benefit to a sharecropper, as even without working very hard, he'll get a share of the fruits of the tree. Then you have to follow up minig. However, if there's a place where the minig is that the trees are not included, and the only thing that a sharecropper has a right to is only to the tefuah and only to the grain that's on the ground that he's working with, but the fruits of the tree belong to the owner of the field and are not shared at all, then that would be the minig that you have to follow. The Gemara continues and discusses the first case of the Braisa, then the case where the minig is that the fruit trees are included, Yachid, then that's included. And the Gemara asks Pshita, of course that's Pashut, since that's the Minigam Makim. And the Gemara responds, Leitzricha, the Kuli Alma Yavi Betulsa, the Azl Iu, the Yavi Riva. The Brice is teaching us a Chiddush that even though the Minig is to give the sharecropper a share of the fruit trees, however, in this place, the Minigam Makim was that the owner would get a third of the crops, and the sharecropper would get two thirds of the crops. In this case, the owner told the sharecropper that all I'm going to take is 25% of the crops, and you will keep 75% of the crops. And therefore, Maor Tema, one may have thought, the Amalei, that the owner of the field could say to the farmer, "Hi, the batzri lecha, daita layavin lecha beilonis." The reason why I lowered the amount of pay that I will get, and instead of taking the standard 33%, I only took a 25% share, is because I wasn't going to give you any share in the ilonis, and therefore I gave you a better share of the crops in order to compensate you for your work, as lemaisa you weren't going to get for the ilonis. And kamash one, the boy lefushile, since the owner did not explicitly state this to the sharecropper, therefore he can't tiny this, and he has to give him a share of the pyrus of the tree, since the minig of this makom is that a sharecropper receives not only a share of the crops of the ground, but also a share of the fruits of the tree. The Gemara continues with the second case of the Braisa, makom shenagel shloi lehascher ein maschirin. If the minig hamakom is that the sharecropper doesn't get a share of the pyrus of the tree, then we follow that minig, and once again the Gemara asks pshita, and the Gemara gives a similar teretz, leitzricha de kule am makabli riva v'azli iu v'kibble betilsa, referring to a case where generally the owner of the field gets 25% of the share of the crops, and the farmer generally gets 75% of the crops. And in this case, the farmer and the owner agreed that the farmer would only get 66% of the crops, and the owner would receive 33% of the crops. Therefore, Maor Tema Amalei Haidit Feilach Adaitit Yavisli Bilonais, that one may have thought that the sharecropper could tell the owner, the reason why I gave you a better percentage and I gave you 33% of the crop instead of 25% of the crop was because I was going to take the pyrus of the tree as well, even though the Minhag HaMakom is not to take the pyrus of the tree, Kamash Mon, the Boy Leil Fushle, and therefore the Braisa teaches us once again that if the sharecropper meant to say this, then he should have explicitly stated this to the owner, and since the sharecropper didn't explicitly state this, therefore the sharecropper doesn't have a right to the pyrus of Elon, since we're in a Makom Shenogu Shaloi Lahascher. Gemara continued to discuss the Sefer of the Mishnah, and as we've mentioned, the Sefer of the Mishnah is only in the Geir to a sharecropper and not to the case of Chakiris, and the Mishnah stated, Kashem Shecholka Mitvua, Kachokim Mitavim Vakash, that just like the sharecropper has a right to a percentage of the Tvua, he also has a right to a percentage of the straw, and Amar Yesev Bebovel Nehigu, the Loyevna Tivna Larisa, that the Minigin Bubble was that a sharecropper would not get a share of the straw, and the Gemara asked, Lamayinav Kamina, the Yeka Inish Diyav, Ayin Yafahu, Veloigaminim Nei, that even if there's a person that does give straw to his sharecropper, then we don't learn from that person, and that does not become the Minig HaMakom, and other sharecroppers cannot claim that they have a right to straw. The Gemara continues to discuss the responsibilities of the owner of the field as well as the sharecropper. Once again, Amar Rabbi Yosef states, Bukhra v'tafta v'akafta v'konya d'chizra de balabayis, that the balabayis has a responsibility to create the border that surrounds the field, and he's also responsible to put up a fence around the field. However, Rabbi Yosef continues, v'chizra gufei darisa, if the sharecropper wants to go and put thorns around the fence and make sure that animals can't get into the field and keep other predators out of the field, then that's the responsibility of the sharecropper. As the Gemara continues, klal milsa, that the general rule is kol ikel balma de balabayis, that anything that's based on a standard shmira is the responsibility of the balabayis. However, in tirusi sirasa darisa, anything which is added as added security, that is going to be the responsibility of the sharecropper, as the sharecropper has to watch a field, and by the fact that he doesn't want to watch the field so much, and therefore he wants to put in extra security measures, that's going to be his responsibility and not the responsibility of the owner of the field. Rashi explains, Bukhra v'tafta v'akafta v'koyin d'chizur d'balabayis, svivis hasada, around the perimeter of the field, oisin charetz, that you would make a ditch, v'nois na'afal ha'metzel ha'gbiya svivaisav, and then in a place, a pile of dirt, in order to show where the demarcation is of the land, and it would also create a buffer that other animals would not get into this farm. And and after a while, when that dirt gets pressed down, then he has to put a second layer, and then he has to put a third layer, the first is called Bukhra, and that's a Lashon Ribui, the Metafi law, as he's adding on an extra layer, and the Lashon Akafta is like something that's riding atop something else. And Rashi also explains, Arisa, that those thorns that you wrap around all of the boards of the fence, and for example, like we would put barbed wire around a fence, that is the responsibility of the sharecropper. Rashi states, Ikabalma, Ikashmira, she efshabloi, any part of Shmira which is not normal, not to have in a field, that is the responsibility of the owner of the field. And the Tirusi Sirasa Darisa, Olav Lahitzi, Sheina Isa, Lahakama Olav, Shalit Stach Latre, Cloud Bishmirasa, as this is something the sharecropper is doing for his own benefit in order to make sure that he doesn't have to work as hard. And the Gemara continues, Vam Rabbeisiv, Mur, Uzavila, Vidavla, Vizarnuka, Dabala Bayis, that a hoe and a shovel, as well as a pail to draw water, or in a mukkim where it's normal to draw water with a leather bottle, then that is the responsibility of the owner of the field. However, Risa of a Beiuri, however, if the sharecropper wants to make an irrigation canal from the main river and bring the water into the field, then he has a responsibility to do so. And as Rashi says, all of Lasis Charitza Misvasanar Tsefa Sada Charitzin Habe, Shech Shadilin Amayim in Anar, Shechim Charitzin, Vacharitzin Melichin at Tsefa Sada, Vishesim Elea. And of course, this is something that makes it easier for the sharecropper. This is similar to the Svara of the Tirusi Sirasa that we mentioned before, is the responsibility of the Oris. And the Gemara continues, it quotes from Mishnah, Kashem Shechokim Yayin, just like the sharecropper shares in the wine, Kachokim is Mersivakanim, he also has a right to share in the vines that were cut off while harvesting the grapes or while pruning the vines. And the sharecropper also has a right to a proportion of the reeds of this field and of this vineyard. And when we learned the Mishnah, we explained this part of the Mishnah like the Maskanas HaGemara. However, right now, the Gemara's Havamin is that when it mentioned Kanim in the Mishnah, it's just talking about reeds that were growing in a vineyard. And the Gemara is, Kanim Maya Viditayu, why are reeds growing in the middle of a vineyard? Generally, reeds grow in their own area. And Amri Debe Rabbi Anai, so they explain the Yeshiva Rabbi Anai, Kanim HaMecholokin, Shebehen Maminus HaGafanim, Mishnah is actually referring to those reeds which were already cut off the ground and were being used as poles in order to support the grapes and in order to support the vines, that the grapes should not be dragging on the ground and get ruined. And the Gemara continues and quotes from Mishnah, Shnei Misafkin Zakanim, that both the owner of the field as well as the sharecropper have to supply the reeds. And the Gemara is Lomeli, and Rashi explains, Pshita, Kivin Tanadil Shneim Hain, that since we said that the owner and the sharecropper split the reeds, V'chokim Behen, Memele Shamin, the Shnei Misafkin Zakadoshim, it must have been that originally they both supplied these reeds and they both supplied the materials. And since we just explained that we're not talking about reeds that grew and we're talking about reeds that were just placed there in order to support the vines, so the Loya Meikara, if they both didn't supply it at the beginning, I might pull it be a shunim. So why at this point would they split the leftover reeds and the leftover poles? And once again, the Gemara says, Matam Kama, in a Kanami, the Mishnah is just explaining the reason for the din, as Matam Shneim Chokim Mekanim, that why is it that the owner of the field and the sharecropper split these reeds and split these posts, Mishum the Shneim Misafkin Sakanim, because originally they both supplied the posts, and that's why they split it equally, and we will stop over here.